Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're kind of still in chapter 2, kind of coming out of it. Of course, this church, they had some difficulties. There were some struggles they had. Paul had went to Corinth, and he started this church there. And there were some Christians there. They were learning and growing, and he spent about 18 months with these folks, and he's trying to encourage them in the things of God. Many people put their faith and trust in Christ. And so he established a church there, and these folks were doing were learning and growing, but yet they were still struggling in their Christianity. We all do. We all struggle in our Christianity. And so what's Paul do? He says, well, that's tough, you know, just try to do whatever you can do and make out as you best can or whatever. No, he was so concerned about them that he wrote them a letter. He wrote them not only one letter, but he wrote them two letters. And he wrote them these letters to encourage them and to help them to understand the things that they were doing, the things that they were doing wrong. Of course, they were doing some things right as well, especially in 2 Corinthians. You'll see whenever we get to that book that they were learning and growing, and they were actually applying some of the principles that Paul had written to them. But yet they were struggling in a lot of areas. And a lot of it had to do with they were babes in Christ, and it was only 18 months with them, and then he left them, and not sure who he left behind there. I know many have went to that church and reported things to Paul, but yet they were struggling here, and so he wanted to help them. Today, this book is not really a book of doctrine. It's a book of correction, if you will, and it helps us to understand, too, the mind of God. In fact, Paul wrote that. He said that we have the mind of Christ in chapter 2, verse 16. And so that is what we want, because we want as Christians to understand, what does God really want us to do? What is this Christianity about? And today in America, we're all mixed up in that. We really, sometimes we don't know, because there's so many things that bombard us. So many things out there. And but yet, nonetheless, Paul, he's writing to these folks and trying to help them. And this is, you know, many centuries ago, and that he was trying to encourage them in these things. In fact, it was, you know, the first century of the early church there in after Christ. And so he's just trying to do help these people to see how they can walk with Christ and know him better. And they had a lot of problems. They were a semblance of Christianity, but the problems they were struggling with really was sin. And that's the bottom line. And they were trying to work their way through this Christianity, but yet pride was a big issue that they were struggling with. And so he's writing to them, and he's trying to teach them. There were a lot of divisions in the church. There were people following other people, whether it was Paul or Apollos or Cephas was mentioned in chapter 1, or Christ. And Paul was trying to straighten them out and help them to understand, hey, look, we're ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be followed. Christ is who we are to follow. And it's easy today for people to get mixed up and think, well, I want to follow this guy or this man. We always follow Christ first. And if it happens that man or that person or whoever is following Christ, then you're going to be going the same direction. But if that man happens to not be following Christ, it is our responsibility to leave that direction and follow Christ always. And, you know, it's easy to get messed up in that. So Paul is trying to encourage them and straighten them out in these things. So as we were talking about the last time, 4 months ago or 3.5 months ago, whatever it was, we were in chapter 2, and we were talking about three different types of people. And that's what Paul is writing here. He's talking about three different types. He tells us about the Spirit. He's telling us that those that are in Christ have the Spirit. Those that are not don't. In verse 12 of chapter 2, he said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And, of course, he's talking to Christians here at this church. He says, and then he tells us what this the purpose of the Spirit of God does in our life, that we may might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know about what God's plan is for our lives. That's why we have the Spirit of God. It's not for us to make a choice outside of that. It's not for us to run after our dreams, our hopes, our aspirations as Christians, but it's the Spirit of God wants to guide us and direct us into God's aspirations, into God's direction, into what God has for us. And so he's talking about the Christian. He's talking about the natural man. We see in verse 14, he says, but the natural man, this is a lost person, never been born again. He says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So one of the things that I came to realize later on in my Christianity is that not everybody understands and not everybody's going to do right. And the reason is because it's foolishness unto them. That is just the standard. You just need to know that a lost person does what a lost person does. You know, I was thinking about recently about all the difficulties we have in our country, in the world. And if you look at how they're trying to change history, and now they're blaming the white man for everything. If you're a woman, you're a minority. If you're a black person, Hispanic, and all these other things. They got all these categories. But if you're a white guy, you went out and you killed everybody and stole their land. But see, what they are missing here is what he's talking about right here in verse 14. The natural man is a sinner. I want us to think back all the way. You can go to the Garden of Eden, but let's just go past the Garden of Eden. And we come to where there's Adam and Eve, and they have two children. Grown up in the same family. And one of them gets jealous and kills the brother. What? Sin. It's always been here since Adam and Eve committed that first sin. And that is our nature. So when we look at people, we see them, drug addiction, see them in their the language they speak, the way they dress. That's because they're supposed to do that. Because that's a sin nature. You know what the sin nature does? The sin nature requires that we abort children. You say, are you serious? Well, think about it. Back in the day in the Old Testament, what was Moloch doing? They were sacrificing their children to their gods. That's what we're doing today with abortion. We're sacrificing those children to their gods. Who's the god of this world? Satan. So Paul is trying to address some of these things. He's trying to help them to see that these people have changed. You see, they're newborn Christians, but yet they still have all the baggage, all the things they were left with before salvation. Us in this room, we have baggage. There are things that we have learned and things that we grew up with and things that we think, you know, in our minds, well, that wasn't so bad or whatever. There's baggage in there. And when we start studying the Word of God, we find out some of that baggage, if not most of it, was probably wrong. It's probably things we shouldn't have done, thoughts we shouldn't have had, places we shouldn't have been, lives we shouldn't have emulated. But why did we do that? Because we were sinners. We were without Christ. We were the natural man. And everybody has experienced that, some to a greater degree than others. If you got saved at an early age, there's a chance you don't have a lot of baggage. That's why it's so important to teach our children the gospel. And they put their faith and trust in Christ. And then continue to guide them to get closer to Christ. Why? Because if they just get the gospel and we leave them there, there's a good chance they're going to become, like this Bible teaches us in the next session, the carnal man. The carnal man. And the carnal man speaks of the Christian. Excuse me. And we want to make sure that we teach our children and we want to live it before them. We don't want to live carnal lives because when we do, you know, there's that saying. And it is true. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We can see that in lots of people's lives. You can see children and their dads and moms, and you can see it there. It's there, right? Good or bad, it's there. And so that's why it's so important. We as Christians, adults, look at the Word of God and really study it and allow it to permeate our lives and to be challenged by it and then do what it says. As best we can. You can't do it without the power of God. You can't. And that's why we have it to give it to God. Casting all our care upon Him, for He cared for us. So let me go ahead and read the scripture here. And I'm going to just begin reading verse 9. And we'll go all the way down through chapter 3, verse 9. And we'll see how far we get this morning. So beginning in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love God, or excuse me, love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Many Christians are living on the surface of what God wants to teach them. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for the word of God. I thank you so much for the folks here in attendance today. I thank you for how they love you and how they want to serve you, Father. And I just pray you continue to bless each family in this church, that you continue to grow them spiritually, Father, and their children, every single one of them, would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, they would be instilled and have a desire to serve you. And Father, we just pray you would just continue to teach us and to show us. Help us always to be ready to receive what you have, because you want us to learn and grow. And Father, we just thank you so much for your care. And thank you so much for loving us, even when we're not lovely. I pray now you'd bless our time together, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Paul is writing, and he's writing to this church, and they're struggling. There are churches struggling in America today. There are a lot of churches that are divided in their the way they worship and when they come to church. Some people come to church because it's expected of them. Some people come to church because they love the Lord so much they can't miss it. That's what we want to learn and grow, is that we want to be here because we love it. And when there's divisions and there's strife, what do we want to do? I know how that feels. I want to stay home. I don't want to go there anymore. I want to find somewhere else to go. I want to be in church, but maybe not in the church that's struggling and having all the problems. Why? Because those problems, they're difficult. They hurt. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We love each other. And yet, we don't act like it. Now, I'm not speaking of our church in particular. I'm speaking of churches that I've been in. And there are many that way today. And we don't want to be like that. And so, as Paul is writing to this particular church, it is valid for us to study this so we don't become like this church. It's not we want to follow a certain person. We always want to follow Christ. Christ is who we follow, not man. And when the person who's leading is not following Christ, we need to think about that. We need to know that. We need to have some discernment, some wisdom. And maybe we need to say it's time for you to leave. And that's important as well. So here he's talking about how we can solve these problems. And he's going to share with us in this little chapter. But he's talking about three different types of people. So he's talked about the natural man. Who's the natural man? He talked about who's the lost guy. Unsaved. He talked about the spiritual man. The spiritual man doesn't have to be judged by any man. Who's going to be his judge? God. And God is, and the spiritual man is always seeking God. And as God is judging him or relaying to him about his sin, he's always trying to take care of that. That's what the spiritual man does. When he sees sin in his life, he doesn't pick up the carpet and sweep it and says, "Ah, let it take care of itself." No, he acts according to the scripture, as the scripture teaches us. How are we to deal with sin? How are we to take care of it? Obviously, the first place you go in any situation is to God. I don't care if you're sick, you're hurt, if you're sinning in your life, first place is always God. And then the wisdom of God teaches us what to do next. Whether it's a problem with somebody else, what do? You go to that person. You talk to that person as much as you can. And then if that doesn't work out, you take others with you. And so that's the way you're supposed to do it. The Bible teaches that. And if we're not doing it that way, then we're not following the principles of God. We're not that spiritual man that God calls us to be. Maybe we're the carnal person. You know, carnality can have, I don't like to call degrees or levels or anything, but there's some people more carnal than others. You just got to know that. Some people will obey God in these areas. This is my area that I'm going to obey God in. But over here, this is the area I'm not. And then there's people that just don't obey God at all and yet are saved. They're carnal. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't talk to about people to, about the spiritual things. You know, as Christian, a spiritual person, the conversations we have should always include somewhere in there the Lord. He's the number one person in my life. You know, I should talk about him. It ought to be natural off my lips. If you're in a situation and you're talking to people, somehow it's easy for that to come up. It's just you're talking along and someone will say something to you. I have a natural out, okay? You do too, but mine is more than yours because someone always asks me, "What do you do?" Well, I'm a pastor. So what do I get to say? I get to start talking about, and usually what that spawns is someone will say, "Well, I go to church or I do this or I do that." And so I have a good opportunity to share testimony and talk about Jesus. But we have the same thing. I remember Sheffy. Now, this is a movie. I don't know if he actually said this or not. But he met somebody and says, "I'm the servant of the Lord." You're the servant of the Lord. I'm a Christian. You know, it's okay to say that. It may not be one day, but it is today. We can still say that. Use those opportunities. Why? Because as a spiritual man, we want to see people saved. But then he's talking about this last person. This last person begins in chapter 3. And he's talking about Christians again. These are born again, blood bought people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, made that profession, probably were baptized. Paul talks a little bit about that. But the fact is, they're folks that are struggling in their walk with God. There are a lot of reasons for that today. One of the reasons we struggle with our walk with God, because we don't know. We're ignorant. Now, whose fault is that? Well, it could be my fault if I'm not preaching the Word of God. It could be your fault for not reading the Word of God and studying it and trying to find out. If you come across something you don't understand or it's not clear, what should you do? You should seek out help. There's lots of help. There's commentaries, there's pastors, there's deacons, there's people you can go to that can help you discern the truth. Why? Because any born-again Christian that is spiritual wants people to grow in Christ. Why? Because that's where God's blessings reside. That's where God wants to bless us, is when we're walking with Him and following Him. He wants us to bless us all the time, but what happens when we're not walking with Him? You cannot erase Hebrews chapter 12 out of your Bible. Sometimes we want to do that. I say this, and now I got to be careful with it, but sometimes we blame God. Like if we're doing something out of the will of God, and we know it's wrong, and we say God's blessing us in that, we need to be careful because God doesn't bless us when we disobey Him on purpose. If we know it's disobedient, God's not going to bless that. You may still feel some blessings, but that's not from God in that sense. Because there's a chastening hand of God, Hebrews chapter 12. Those that He loves, those that are born-again Christians, He promises. This is a promise of God, and I'm glad for it. Because if I didn't have this in my life, then I would just continue on and do what I want to do. But because God's word, because of his chastening hand, it reminds me that I have a problem and I need to deal with it. And the first place I go again is to God, confessing my sin. First place. And then dealing with whatever the fallout with that is. That's the way we're taught. So here he's going to these folks and he's teaching these folks. He says in verse 1 through 4, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." So he's saying, I can't really talk to you about the spiritual things of God, the deep things of God, because I got to go back and rehearse some other things to you. "But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? So he's talking about the carnal Christian. And of course, it was noted to him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, says, "For it hath been declared unto me," he began the book like this, "of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions." And he said, those contentions are quarrels or debate among you. And so here's where he began in the book. He said there's the division. So this whole book is built upon the premise that this church is struggling with divisions. Okay, they're one against another. They're fighting over things, lots of things. And it's difficult because sometimes we find ourselves in these fights as well. That word carnal, it means pertaining to the flesh. By extension, it's the body or temporal. It goes on and says animal or unregenerate. Okay. That's the carnal mind, okay? The natural man has the carnal mind. But Christians also can have the carnal mind in the sense that they follow after that. Scofield, he wrote in his notes, "Paul's word for the Adamic nature and the believer who walks, i.e. lives under the power of it." That's the carnal man. That's what it's saying. So they were babes. They had gotten saved and some time had transpired in Paul's mind as he's writing his letter. He's thinking, hey, it's been a while now, probably 4.5 years or so. You ought to be growing up. What if we had a baby and that child, would you like Anna to be in a crib in 4 years? He's saying, there she is. You know, she can crawl out and get out of there, but think about it. Well, she's just hanging. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's not talking about physically as much as he's talking about mentally or spiritually speaking. This person or these folks were back in that cradle still and still not resolving problems or dealing with those correctly. And that's okay because that's why he's addressing it. That's why he's trying to help them. He's trying to encourage them. And it's a blessing that this happened for us because it teaches us some things about how we're to handle situations. And how we're to grow up in this spiritual life that we've been giving, this new creature in Christ. But they were still struggling. Ephesians 4:14 says that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. And this is kind of where they're at. Every wind of doctrine, struggling in these areas. And Paul writes in Ephesians 4, where he's talking about he gave some pastors and others for the teaching of the body of Christ that they may do the work of the ministry. And he says that they wouldn't be tossed to and fro. And that's why Paul's writing here, so he would change that direction in their lives. So these people are saved, but they're living after the flesh. Paul addresses that in Galatians. Turn over there for a second. Hold your place in Corinthians. See, Paul does this not just in one place, but he does it many times. And he does it because he loves these people. He cares for these people. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've heard it enough. Well, you know, you ever think about why you hear things a lot? Sometimes it's just God doing the work trying to get you to hear. Because we got our ears stopped up. There's no action behind the hearing. We walk out and we leave, and just like in Hebrews, it talks about being dull of hearing. So we hear it over and over again. It's like my salvation. I sat in a pew, and I sat there for years. I don't care what message was taught. I don't care what was preached. But always in the forefront was my salvation, that I needed to put my faith in Christ. That was the message I needed to hear. even though the text wasn't that. Why? Because God was dealing with me. He was trying to get my attention. He was trying to draw himself to me. And I kept pulling away, and I had excuses. And we all can come up with excuses why we don't do what we do or should do. Paul made some of those statements to us in Romans chapter 7. But here in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 17. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit." That's the battle, right? "And the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law." So there's the key. He says there is a remedy for this fight, this battle, and it's being led by the Spirit. That means as spiritual people, we're studying the Word of God, we're seeking God's face on a regular basis, we're trying to understand and have the knowledge to understand these things, and then to apply that into wisdom. And I wish I had this wisdom. All these years, and I'm still seeking that wisdom in decisions to make that are right, that are going to be godly decisions instead of worldly decisions, decisions that lead me into a bondage instead of freedom in Christ. And that's what this is all about. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you have freedom. Freedom to live apart from the world. Freedom to live from the things and philosophy of the world. You don't have to do that. But we do it still because of the flesh. And sometimes we do it so much that we end up being carnal Christians. They drive us and lead us more than the Spirit of God, more than the Word of God. We'll listen to our friends and what they think instead of what the Word of God says. And we'll make decisions on that sometimes. That's carnal. Unless your friend is using the Word of God. And hopefully they are. So this person doesn't understand the hard things of Scripture. Look at 2 Peter for a second. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Well, let's start at verse 14. We can go all the way back to the first one. But anyway, he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, as according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles," speaking of Paul here, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Babes in Christ is what he's alluding to. They're resting this. That word rest means to twist. It's to turn about. They can't understand hard things of the Bible. You know, it's one thing you read the Bible, and there's enough in the Bible and enough knowledge that you have reading that, you'll come away with some things in the Bible. That's why there's so many people that are very smart and scholarly. They could probably read it to you in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. They could go through there and teach you those languages. But yet, because they don't have the Spirit of God or not born again, they miss the things that are hard to be understood. They can say, evolution is true, which there is no foundation for evolution whatsoever. There is no science that proves that there is evolution. There is made-up science. There is a theory out there, which today people believe is the truth. And then you go to the Word of God, and we have the truth, the very truth here. And they can't understand that truth because there's something missing. They're the natural man. They don't have the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto them. And he said, there are things that are hard to understand because they twist the Scriptures. Have you ever heard somebody say, that's your interpretation of the Bible? Anybody ever told you that? I've heard it. Or someone come and say, there are many interpretations of the Bible. We got a God that's a God of confusion, don't we? We got a God that he's given us many interpretations so we can't understand this. The only reason we come up with different interpretations is because we have a misunderstanding as individuals. Because the interpretation, there's only one interpretation of the Bible. There's the literal interpretation of Scripture. There are many applications that you can use that with, but there is literally one interpretation. I believe that. I believe that's God. He's not the author of confusion. The devil is. That's why we have so many different Bible accounts today as well. And this is the problem with these folks. He called them babes in Christ. You can go back to your text. He called them babes in Christ. These are his words. In verse 1 it says, carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And he describes that a little bit. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. The hard things to understand in Scripture. Why do we live like we live? Because I want to please myself. Is that our goal? Now, a hard thing to understand is that there is sacrifice and suffering, as Peter said. Dying to self. Willing to live for others. Willing to maybe dress differently. Go to different places we wouldn't go for others. Why? How many people want to be a stumbling block to your brother in here in this room? Nobody does, right? I don't want to be a stumbling block. So what do? We bow to the higher standard of God. And that is that we sacrifice for others. I've heard people say, well, I don't care what he thinks or he does or whatever. It may be a stumbling block from them. So what have you just done? S-I-N. Because you don't love your brother. You love yourself more than you love your brother. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be who I want to be. And that's what Paul is trying to help these people understand, is that it's God who has the authority. It is God who we live for. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to wrap it up here. Oh, we got an N up here. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul is saying the similar thing here. Of course, he's writing to the Hebrews, which are the Jews, okay? And so he's sharing some things. And this chapter talks about these folks who have tasted of the heavenly gift, but they never put their faith and trust in Christ. There are people, maybe in this church, I hope not, that have heard the Word of God but never experienced salvation. That's who he's talking to in chapter 6, if you go down through there. But we're looking at chapter 5 at the beginning of that, which is all part of this chapter 6 down to verse 12, which we'll not read the whole thing. But in verse 11, he's talking. This is a parenthetic, probably says so in your Bible. This is one of those parentheses. He's talking about one subject, and then he pulls this in. He says, of whom ye have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so that's what the Word of God does for us. It teaches us what's good and what's evil. It teaches us from right and wrong. It teaches us instead of the philosophy of the world, like Cain and Abel, in the sense of Cain who killed his brother. It teaches us what's right and what to do. Now, I'm sure Abel didn't think at the time he offered that sacrifice that he was going to die. He was doing right. He was following God. But because of his brother's jealousy, he did die. God knew that. He knew that would happen. But again, it demonstrates the picture of the world today. It shows us the natural man. It shows us the saved man. But it also, now there's another category of the carnal man, the saved who is not walking with Christ. And so that's what Paul is trying to help us to understand. As we go through this passage, and as we see in the whole book of 1 Corinthians, there are things that he's going to hit that are specific things that we will see why they were struggling with. And some of these things may be something that we might be struggling with as well. And that's what the Word of God is here for, is to teach us and to help us. And I tell you, I love reading the Word of God. I told my wife, sometimes this is a struggle, doing these things. You know, being a pastor and those things. And just as well, you guys have struggles. But I told her the other day, the thing we want to do in this world, the thing that you really want to do, is the thing you have passion about. I am blessed. I get to do something that I have a passion about. God has given me the opportunity. My preacher or my pastor used to say to me all the time, it is so wonderful that God has given me this to do, and he's paying me to do it because he loved it so much. That's what we all need to find, is what we are passionate about. And I hope God has a part in that somewhere. That's the most important thing for a Christian to do today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul who writes these things, that he's written them to me. Father, help me to have understanding. Help me have the wisdom, not of this world, but the wisdom that the Spirit of God gives to us. We thank you for what you're going to do in each one of our lives. I thank you for our brothers and sisters here this morning. And I just pray you continue to bless them and strengthen them. These are the people that love you, that have a desire to follow you. And I'm so grateful that there are people in Stratton that do, because there are a lot that don't. Father, help each one of us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.